name. Amen. Now, while you're sitting right there, wherever you are, go ahead and say amen right now. Glory to God. We're in this together. You know we are. I believe that this really is going to prove out to be our finest hour. I believe that you and me as believers have been given an opportunity. Every crisis brings opportunity. Any crisis brings opportunity. It brings opportunity to go in various directions, but it brings opportunity to you and me to stand in the things that we have known and been taught from the Word of God. Now look, I have been connected, as Pastor George mentioned, I've been connected with this ministry, even though we've been out of this ministry and in our own ministry for many years, since 1979 actually. But in 1976, we became a part of this ministry staff. And even prior to that, for many years, we had been connected in our faith and in learning through this ministry. And all these years, the message has remained the same in this way. It has remained a message of victory. This is the victory that overcomes the world. It is our faith. Faith overcomes. And that's been true all along, and that is true right this minute. Faith in God, not just that God exists, faith in God's promise and in His Word overcomes everything that has not changed. So we just roll the care of these days and the reports that have come, we roll the care of that off of us so that faith remains the primary force that is alive within us by the Spirit of God. There is, without question, a clashing of kingdoms that's going on right now, right before our eyes. There's nothing new about it, but there is a clash between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. Now, that's not new. That's been going on for all of history, certainly all of our lifetimes, that there has been this clash, but it is right now on the news, it's on the streets, it's on people's mind, nonstop, this clash. And you and me have a point of reference from Scripture as to how to deal with this clash. How to deal with the war or the fear tactic or the epidemics that we're hearing about all the time. The clash of these kingdoms is real, and it's real right now. And if you're feeling the effects of it, you're not alone. Everybody's having to deal with this clash of these kingdoms, but we got to remind ourselves as to what's really going on. It is this same battle and war that's been taking place all along. Only now we're hearing it from even new places and a new sense of urgency about it. And so there's something I want to deal with right out of a statement that comes from 1 John chapter 5 and verse 18. And I'm going to read this from the Message translation. I'm going to use a couple of different translations today. But I want to read this statement to you from 1 John chapter 5 and verse 18 in the Message translation. He says here, "The God begotten are also the God protected. The evil one can't lay a hand on them." Listen to it again. The God begotten, that's you, that's me. The God begotten or the God protected. The evil one, the devil, Satan himself, and all of his kingdom cannot lay a hand on them, the God begotten. Glory to God. I want you to let that resonate on the inside of you. Say it right out loud. I am the God begotten. Come on, say it right now. Say it again. I am the God begotten. Because I'm God begotten, I am God protected. God surrounds His family. God's ready to rise up on the inside of every person. Because you are begotten of God. What does that mean? You know what it means. Jesus was at one point the only begotten Son of God. John 3:16. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the God begotten. Jesus was the one God begotten Son of the living God at that point in time. But here's what shifted. with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, the incoming flood of the Holy Spirit, the new birth came into reality, and anybody that chooses Jesus to be Lord of their life becomes one of the sons or daughters of the living God, one of the God begotten. That's us. Now, I go over that again, knowing that many of you, you got that, man. If you are a part of Faith Foundations and tuning in to these programs and broadcasts from this ministry and many others, you know that you are a child of the living God. But man, this is the day when this really has to kick in a big way. It has to kick in a big way because we're being confronted by the spirit and system of the world and threatened, and we push back by the knowledge of who we are in Christ. That revelation of who you are now that you are in Christ is one of the biggest things that comes alive in the heart of real victorious believers. We are that. We choose to be victorious. And even in the face of all these threats and all of this information that we're getting, we flood our mind, and you got to do this. You got to make the choice to flood your own mind with the right information. Not just information about the details of how much distance you need to have or how you need to protect yourself, and all that stuff is actually quite important. I know it is. I recommend that we're following these guidelines just like we should. But that's not our final report. That's not the only thing we choose to believe. We choose to believe, just like this statement says, that we are begotten by God and we are protected by God. We are the untouchables. I want that to resonate inside of you right now. Vicki Burke, my beautiful wife, she's written a great book that I'll talk to you about in detail in just a few minutes. But that in this book, one of the chapters has that chapter title, The Untouchables. And what the message of this kingdom really is that God's designed a system to surround you and me with His Word and His anointing, and to really, if you want to take it just like it's written, to protect you and make you one of the untouchables. Now, you remember that TV program. Some of you do. If you're as old as I am, you do. It was called The Untouchables. And it was Elliot Ness bannering right and the law, and he was one of the untouchables, and it was a great program. I just loved it. But the title is so powerful and relevant right now. This is exactly how God wants you to see yourself, untouchable by the kingdom of darkness. That disease doesn't have the ability to get in you and get on you. And if it has gotten on you and are in you, it doesn't have the right to remain in the name of Jesus. You have been made one of the untouchables. The God begotten. Say it again. I am the God begotten and I am the God protected. The evil one cannot lay a hand on me. Now, in thinking about these current reports that we're getting, it's all about this pandemic that's going on. Really, there's three prongs that I see in this pandemic, and there's a lot of issues, but there's three prongs to it. Certainly is the virus itself, the COVID-19 virus. That has gotten all the attention. But the second prong to this pandemic is the economy, the economics behind it, what it does to people's finances, what it may be doing to your own finances right now. Maybe you're locked in home. Maybe you can't work. Maybe you're without a job. Your business is closed down or it's become very limited. If you have a business, it has taken a major hit. Every business has, every person's being affected by the economics of this. It's also on a pandemic kind of list, really, as to the attack that's coming at us. But the third prong of this really is at the root of all of it, and it is the prong of the pandemic of fear. Fear is an attack. It is the currency of the kingdom of darkness. It is really doing in people what faith is designed to do in anybody who'll take hold of the word. It's designed to bring about results, but fear does it in the reverse. Fear is the reverse of what faith does. Fear is believing in something and acting on it. You know what fear is, man. It tries to grab you, tries to paint a picture, tries to launch a movie in your mind as to what you can expect and what the days ahead will be like. So look, here's what I want you to do. I want you to flip this movie that is in your mind. Take the Word of God and messages like this and messages that Pastor George will minister or your pastor or Brother Copeland or others that are speaking it, take the time to let a movie start to roll through your soul. Start to see not the reruns of how bad it could get or the reruns of the reports that you're getting, but I want you to start to see the previews of the promise really happening, coming to pass, and bringing a result. Now look, we understand there's all kinds of threats against us. We understand there's a conspiracy, lots of conspiracy theories going around as to what's going on. But look, the kingdom of darkness has had a conspiracy against you and against the entire kingdom of God all of our life and throughout all of our history. This is a conspiracy that Satan has designed against every person to bring destruction, death, disease, and lack into a person's life. It's been going on for all of our history, that's for sure. But here's the thing, in spite of whatever conspiracies are out there, God flips it. God's Word flips the conspiracy into reality and into real substance. And that's what's coming right now. You are receiving. I've asked the Holy Spirit to reach right into your living room, your bedroom, wherever it is you're able to take this broadcast in, and reach right into your soul and lift the fear out. You got to rebuke it. You got to take authority over it, but to surround you with the peace that comes because God has flipped all of these strategies against you and given you all the right and ability to receive. Now, I want to read a statement to you also from the book of Jeremiah now in chapter 29 and verse 11. This is real familiar to anybody that studies these things. Also now from the New Living Translation, listen to this. He said, I know the plans that I have for you. This is God talking to all of us. I know the plans. Hey, get this in your head. God's plans haven't changed. God's plan has remained the same. His plan is not new, but it's current. He said, I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good. Now listen, and not for disaster. They are plans to give you a future and a hope, an expectation. You have the right to have hope right now. And an expectation that the days ahead are designed to unwrap and unfold the blessing and the power of God in a bigger way than ever. Man, this is going to be, and this is, our finest hour. This is what we've been learning and studying and laying hold on God's Word to do and deal with, to deal with the issues from the outside and not allow them to get on the inside, but to take what is on the inside of our spirit and soul. Now, let me take a moment here. He who dwells, not just visits, not just drops by, not just passes by. This isn't a drive-through experience. He who dwells, he who's taken up residence and decided they are staying close. This isn't a time to be shaken loose. This is the time to stay close. He who dwells or stays close to the secret, or it could be translated the covered place of the Most High. The secret, hidden, but hidden under a cover is the idea behind that word in the Hebrew text. He who dwells in the covered place of the Most High, now watch this, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The word shadow, actually just thinking of it from the Latin word shadow comes from the word umbra. It's where we get our word for umbrella, the shadow. The umbrella really wasn't just designed to protect you from the rain. The umbrella was actually designed to also protect you from the sun, to create a shadow, so that you can carry your own shade. Man, I love that idea. When you dwell in the secret or covered place of the Most High, you are abiding under the shade of the Almighty by carrying your own umbrella. Think about that, man. Everywhere you go, anywhere you go, any environment you get into, you carry your own umbrella. This is me carrying an umbrella. You carry your own umbrella to shade you, cover you from whatever threat is trying to beam down on you. You're in the shade or the shadow. Isn't that powerful? You got to remind yourself in these days that you are in the shade of the presence of God. So he said he'll abide under the shadow of the Almighty, in the shade, the protected place, the place where you have been immunized. I actually got up in one church a few weeks ago when I could still travel into churches. And when I got up, I said, look, we're going to take our immunization now. We know that a vaccine is not available yet, but we have our own immunization, which is the most powerful substance known to man. It is by the anointing of God. And we just got ourselves immunized using God's word that we have strength and dominion over the works of darkness, and that the life of God dwells on the inside of us, right on the inside, immunized. Disease tries to hit us, it dies. I like that idea. Disease dies rather than you die. Glory to God. Anyway, abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. Then he goes on, verse 2, look at this. He said, I will say of the Lord. Now we're about to read something that the psalmist said himself, and God gives us these words, I believe, to say it ourselves. He tells us exactly what to say in the face of things like we're looking at right now, economic, disease, fear type epidemic. We're not buying into it, not any of it. We understand it. Man, if you're not walking in the things of God, we understand why people are panicked. But we refuse to participate. I'm not jumping into the panic. I'm not jumping into the economic pressure. I'm not jumping into the fear of the disease. But look at what he says. Here's what we say. He, speaking of the Lord, is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him I will trust. That's what we say. Here's what we declare today. I want you to say it out loud with me. Say it right now. He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him I will trust. Are you saying it? Come on, there's a few people, just a handful here. But this is what we say. We say what God says, and this is what God told you to say. He is your refuge, a fortress, place of protection, a place to stand tall and strong, confident, and know that you are in the shade, under the umbrella of the Almighty. God is your refuge. He is flooding right now into your soul to remind you and let this stuff rise up in you and flush out the fear. Flush out the disease of the threat and flush out even that fear of economic threat in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him I will trust. Now, the psalmist goes on and describes a lot of things. I'm not going to go through all of this psalm. There's a few other things I want to be able to touch on in this session, but I really need to focus on a particular word that's used three different times in this psalm. It's the word deliver. The very next verse, verse 3, is the first time it's used. It says there, surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. Well, that's relevant right this instant, isn't it? But I want you to pay attention to that word deliver. Now, each time that it's used in this psalm, it actually comes from a very different Hebrew word in the original text. Now, look, I don't know why The translators leave us with these things to discover, but when you discover it, man, it really comes alive. He shall deliver us, and the text says, from the snare of the fowler. And this word used in the Hebrew text for deliver actually has that exact idea, to snatch you up out of trouble. Glory to God. To snatch you, that means if you're in trouble, He's ready to snatch you up. He doesn't leave you on your own. He doesn't leave you to fend for yourself. He doesn't leave you to try to work it out. He's ready to reach in, snatch you up out of trouble. Now, obviously, we're going to have to lay hold on it, be under the shadow of the Almighty, and in these other things, you've got to participate. This doesn't just happen automatically. Because of the clash of kingdoms, man, we have to lay hold on it, but you have every right to lay hold on it right now. He's come to snatch you up out of trouble, out of the snare. You know what that snare is? It's what Satan has laid out before all of us to entrap us, to fill us with anxiety, fear, wondering, the movie in our mind going haywire with all kinds of distress and depression. But we push back on every bit of it the instant we recognize it. Glory to God. We push back. And here's what you can count on. You lay hold on Him, He lays hold on you, and He delivers you out of the snare of the fowler. Out of disease, out of economic stress, out of whatever's going on. And look, we don't know how this economy thing turns around for everybody, but we understand that we have the right to receive and believe and lay hold on the fact that we are the God begotten and we are the God protected. The evil one can't lay a hand on me and he can't lay a hand on my money in the name of Jesus. So he snatches us, delivers us out of the snare of the fowler. Now dropping down here to verse 7. He says here, 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand. Man, that's a lot of people. 11,000 falling that are nearby. That's a lot of people. But you got to let this resonate loud inside of you. Whatever is happening that others are falling by, here's what he says to you and me. But it shall not come near you. Say it out loud. It doesn't come near me.
It doesn't come near me.
You see, God has delivered us and given us the right to believe that whatever comes to others, we don't want it to. God doesn't want it to. Look, man, He's paid the price so that disease is dealt with and paid for and people are delivered from this all over the world. But look, I don't control their deal. God doesn't control it either. We receive by faith. We receive the promise. But when we do, here's what we have the right to receive, that it will not come near us. It doesn't come near me. It doesn't come near you. That's what He's given us the right to receive. Are you receiving it? Man, I'm receiving it. But now drop down into verse 14. I want to get on into another word here for deliver. In verse 14, we've got God actually speaking to the writer and to the believer of this psalm. And in verse 14, God says this, because He, you or me, has set His love upon me, therefore, now watch this, I will deliver him and I will set him on high because he has known my name. Glory to God. I will deliver him. Here God is telling us, using a different word for deliver than he did in verse 3. There he snatched us up out of trouble, but here this idea of deliverance is to lift and carry you in a way where you avoid the trouble. To lead you in a way where it doesn't become a snare, where you avoid the snare. You've been delivered. And the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, He'll lead us, He'll direct us in places to go, places not to go. Things to be a part of, things to not be a part of. Things to step into, things to step out of. Things to think about and meditate on, and things to not think about and meditate on. And what's he doing? All of this leadership from the Holy Spirit comes to deliver you or to carry you to avoid the trouble or the snares at your feet. I'm confident, man, that there are so many times that we are taking a turn or making a decision or moving in a direction, and we don't always know exactly why we did that. But we just felt like that was the direction to go or the decision to make. So we made it and did it. And it was spawned of the Holy Spirit so that you would avoid the trouble, the snare that some people might end up in, but you just avoided it altogether. That's the kind of deliverance I like. Now look, if I'm in a snare of one type or another, thank God, even if it's one of my own doing, which a lot of snares are of our own doing. Not all of them by any means. There's an enemy and a devil that has come to ensnare us, but God will deliver us from snares. But boy, I like the idea of avoiding snares. I'd rather avoid it than get delivered out of it once I'm already in it. Wouldn't you? Yeah, I'd rather miss the snare altogether. And so that's what he's told us. He said, if you set your love on him, because he has set his love on me, he said, I deliver him. That love will guide you. That love will direct you. That love will help you. And that's where deliverance can come. So he said, I'll set him on high because he has known my name. Praise God. Now we know the name of the Lord, our God. We know he is our deliverer, and that's what we call him. We declare that he is our refuge and our fortress, our God, and in him we trust. But now look at verse 15, the very next one. This is the third time this word deliver is in the English translation of Psalm 91. Now watch this. He shall call upon me. God's still talking to us. He'll call on me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. Now this is interesting because this is already describing a third scenario. It's not that you're missing the trouble. Sometimes trouble hits you, comes at you. And when trouble comes, he said, I will be with him in trouble and I will deliver him. See, just because you're in trouble or facing trouble, just because something comes at you. All right, let me just say it this way. There are like two times when the devil attacks us, just primarily speaking in general terms. Two times. One, when you're doing things right, and the other, when you're doing things wrong. That's pretty much like every day and all the time. If you're doing it right, the devil's after you to threaten you and to tell you it's not going to work. If you're doing it wrong, he tells you you deserve this attack. You caused it yourself, you're in trouble, you can't get out. So it doesn't matter whether trouble comes. It's not there to tell you whether you've been handling it right or wrong. Trouble just comes. But here's what he said. He said, I'll be with you in trouble. When it hits, we're not alone. You're not by yourself. God's in with you. He has fallen into the situation with you. Not fallen off the throne, don't take it weird. But he has fallen into the situation with you. And here's what he said. He said, I'll be with you in trouble. I will honor him. And with long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Now, this third word for deliverance, it's real different from the other two, because this is very clearly talking about being equipped to handle any situation that comes. That you have the equipment. You have what it takes. You can rise up and deal with this trouble today. Why? Because God's with you and he delivers you and he has equipped you. You see, that's what we've been learning. We've been learning it for decades. I am so grateful to God that God brought a teacher, mentor, minister, apostle of God into my life named Kenneth Copeland. And years ago, Vicki and I, when we first plugged into his ministry, 1971, right after we had gotten saved, we began to hear about the authority of the believer, what faith in God does, what a covenant with God is all about, that the integrity of God's word will make you unshakable when you're facing trouble. And you have been given the equipment by the name of Jesus to walk with God and see the power of God in your life. Man, that kind of revelation started in us a long time ago, but my goodness, it is the most relevant reality that you can get a hold of right now. That there is nothing that you and me are facing today that cannot be dealt with by these tools that, hey man, they're not new tools, but they are current tools. They are new and alive when they're in your mouth and in your heart, in Jesus' name. So here's what he said, I will deliver you, equipping you for the day of battle. Equipping you with the divine authority to stand strong and stand tall. That's the message of the kingdom. Look, it doesn't mean we deny what's going on around us. We don't deny this. This is crazy, man. The world is in a crazy place right now. We're not denying any of that. We're just denying any of that the right to have authority in our own life. We're denying it the right to attack our peace, our soul, or our experience. We just deny it the right in the name of Jesus. That's what we've learned, and this is what God said. He said, I've equipped you for this. You see, we may not have had it on our radar that this is exactly the way things were going to look. I didn't. I didn't have it on my radar that this is exactly what was going to happen. But I did have it, and I have had it on my radar that the authority and the victory of Jesus is more than enough to deal with any situation that comes. Now, granted, these are big situations, as big as it gets maybe to a lot of people, the biggest they've ever dealt with. I've not experienced a time like this when fear has been rampant all over the planet. But here is the deal that I'm going to remind you of. God is flipping this. The world is still part of a plan that God has for Jesus to rule and reign in every single person's life. Glory to God. Man, I just want to remind you of it. Now, that delivering power then has come. Now, listen to this statement. Back to the book of 1 John. Chapter 4 and verse 4, and I want to read this from the Passion Translation. This is good in any translation you go to, but I just want to read it in this translation. 1 John 4, 4 says, little children, that's us, we're the God begotten. Little children, you can be certain that you belong to God and have conquered them, every kind of enemy. And the spirit of the world really is the context here. You can be certain that you have conquered them, for the one who is living in you is far greater than the one who is in the world. Yeah. Hallelujah! Greater is the one that is in you. Oh, he's in you now, and he's greater than the spirit of the world. He's greater than the threats that come and all of the strategies of an enemy. He is greater in the name of Jesus. Now, here's what the Spirit of God is doing. The Spirit of God is flipping things that are taking place. He's using this to the max. You know he does. To get people's attention. He's got mine. Now, he's had my attention for a long time. But, you know, we're dialing in a bit different these days. We're putting even more into our design to hear and to receive and to follow the plans and walk close with God, draw close and stay under the shadow of the Almighty. But in these times, you can't let things get your attention. You can't let the enemy, the kingdom of darkness, find a way of getting to you. I want to bring up a statement that Kenneth Copeland made, and you'll see the relevance of it here right away. Watch this. And he has said so many things I could quote, but I want you to hear this. He said, when you're touchy, you are not correctable. And when you're not correctable, you are not protectable. You know, sometimes we have put ourselves outside of being in that divine protection by things people have said, things we've allowed to get to us, reports of wicked things happening, but there's a lot of things that kind of derail a person from being correctable by the Holy Spirit. Being touchy with the days we're in, being touchy with friendships or family, being touchy about reports that are coming, a variety of ways. I just want you to take it, man. I felt so compelled of the Lord to just remind some people of this, that being touchy can derail you from being correctable, being teachable, having ears to hear. You're not hearing that substance of the Spirit of God. But if you're not correctable, you're not protectable. Now, we got to stay locked in. This is real important. You got to keep your prayer life alive. You got to keep your time in the Word as a priority, man. This is faith foundations. This is the class that you're in. The design of it is to renew and restore and remind you that it is faith that changes things. Promises haven't changed. But we all know this. We know that there is a process to receiving the promise. Every promise in the Word is God's intention to do something. Every time God gives any promise, and the Bible's full of thousands of promises, every single one of them is a revelation of God's intention. This is what He has intended to do. So we're not having to bend His will and talk Him into doing any of this. But there is a process. God's promise doesn't happen just because He promised it. It happens because we activate it with faith. God's grace is provided. All of these results and answers, man, and all of the help necessary and all the deliverance that we need. Grace has provided it, but faith has to be involved to access what grace has provided. That's one of the strongest things you've ever heard in your life. Now, I didn't make it up and I didn't originate it, but man, I'm saying it. Faith activates what grace has provided. There is a process to receiving. You don't get what God has promised by only praying. Now, that may sound funny to you. I don't mean for it to sound funny at all. We don't receive from God by asking only. We do ask. The Bible tells us to. It's obviously biblical. That's what we do. Asking is what sends that request to God. But believing we receive what we ask for is what releases power from God, God's power within us. There is a believing that we receive. That can be identified. You can hear it. You can hear that receiving mode is in place when Thanksgiving starts coming up. Oh God, I thank You that I'm the God begotten. I'm the God protected. I thank You that I'm the delivered. I'm snatched up out of trouble. I'm carried across to avoid trouble. I am empowered in the midst of trouble to deal with it. Man, I thank You, God, that I am the delivered. Thanksgiving is what receiving by faith sounds like. And what it does is it fuels your expectation to stand in it. It fuels that right that you know you have to receive. Glory to God. You see, God's created all of these things for us so that we can remain the voice of faith in the kingdom and in the earth. We are the voice, you and me as believers, man. We're the ones that stand in faith, stand in confidence. We stand unshakable. We stand unshakable. Let me read a statement to you from Hebrews chapter 12. Right towards the end of that chapter, verse 28, he said, "Since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, let us be thankful and please God by worshiping Him with fear and awe. Glory to God. We stand unshakable. 1971, man, I rode the Southern California earthquake. It hit at 6:01 in February of 1971. I wasn't saved yet. I got saved in just a few weeks after that earthquake. But it woke me up and everything shook. It was 40 miles away in San Fernando Valley, and it was catastrophic. 6.6 on the Richter scale. It was devastating. Everybody shook. Everything attached to the earth shook. But I want you to think about that. That idea. Everything attached to the earth shook. Now, here's an obvious statement, but you'll get where I'm going. Birds didn't shake if they were flying. If you were in a jet airplane, you weren't shaking at all. You didn't even know it was rolling and rumbling down below. You were flying high because you weren't attached to the earth. So get this idea. I know we're all living through this stuff that we're going through together, and we are in it together. We're not shaken because we're not only attached to the earth. We are attached to a kingdom. And that kingdom is within us, Jesus said, Luke 17. And that kingdom within us empowers us to be unshakable. You don't have to shake with this. You don't have to tremble. You don't have to feel like things are out of control. Because on the inside of you, there is a kingdom. And in that kingdom, things are in control. I want you to get it. God on the inside is not shaking over these things, and you don't have to shake either. Now, this isn't just pie in the sky. This is how the kingdom of God works. We're not just in denial over what's going on. No, we're facing what's going on, and we're doing it in the authority of God's word, and we refuse to shake. Let me give you one last statement. Man, I got so many. You know, guys like me, we can go on for a long time. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, again from the Message translation, every God-begotten person conquers the world's ways. The conquering power, this is what I want you to hear, the conquering power that brings the world to its knees is our faith. Your faith right now is a conquering power, and you've got it. There's no question about it. You have what it takes because you have faith in God. You remember the evangelist R.W. Shambach, he used to close out his radio broadcast and he said it time and time again, you don't have any problems. All you need is faith in God. Now that doesn't deny that problems exist. It just reminds us how we deal with pressure. The spirit of the world that John was addressing, that you and me are dealing with right now, that spirit of the world that's been unleashed and seems like has taken a whole new level of threat against us, really is nothing new. It's been with us from the beginning. But this conquering spirit that brings that to its knees is that faith in God and His word that's right on the inside of you. Child of God, I got good news for you. It ain't gonna be long that all of this nonsense that's going on around the world is gonna be in our rearview mirror. We're gonna look back on these days, but we're never gonna be the same. Nope, we're not going back to some of the things maybe that we've allowed in our own lives. You're not going back to any of the fear that Satan tried to sow into you. All we are doing is moving forward in faith in a brand new resolve. That there is nothing that is going to beat us in the name of Jesus. Now, I want us to lay hold on some of this together. I want you to lay hold on all of it, every bit of it. This is faith foundations. There's a spirit of faith. And I want to remind you that this is it, and this is it for you. We receive it, Lord. Say it out loud. I do receive. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, before I am finished with this session. Now, don't go anywhere. Church is about to start. You know it is. But I want to take a minute and I want to point out something that I've been teaching some out of during this session. And it is my wife Vicki's latest book. And the timing of this is phenomenal. It's entitled Help, It's Dangerous Out Here. Help. That's what's going on the inside of people. They're crying out for help. It's dangerous out here. But here's the subtitle, How to Walk in Supernatural Protection. Now, there's information on your screen, how to get one of these for yourself at our ministry website. And it's downloadable. You can also order it. We'll get it out to you just as quick as we can. But I want you to let this book speak to you about divine protection. Those are the days that we're in. And this is a tool that God will make available, has made available to all of us. The timing of it could not be better. Help is dangerous out here, but you have the right to walk in supernatural protection. So get a hold of that. Amen. Well, God bless you. Look, it keeps on getting better. The word continues to grow inside of every one of us, and we receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Stay with us. We're going into church.